if you had a $10,000 fee you paid to a contractor and you're in the 22% tax bracket, you failed to file a 1099 and you got audited by the IRS, you're looking at about $2,200 worth of taxes you're going to have to pay, plus penalties and interest for not filing that 1099.
You're listening to 5-Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Okay, hello, and welcome to another episode of the 5-Hour Real Estate Week. And today's topic is part one of a 6-part series with my good friend and super sharp real estate investor CPA, Eric Shadowins. He is your real estate tax guy. And I've learned so much from Eric over the last 6 months to a year on new tax law updates that I was in the dark about. And so he's going to share that with you. And we've got this 6-part series that is going to be very informative, give you a ton of information that is specific and focused on today's real estate investor. So let's get ready. Let's pick it up in part one of this 6-part episode series is the forms 1099s, 1098s, and how to do it. So hello, Eric, and welcome.
How you doing, Mike? Thanks for having me today.
Oh, we're doing great. I'm looking forward to learning more what we discussed before we even got on this and sharing this with all of our listeners and attendees. And what I want to point out to you guys, if you're watching the video part, you can see Eric's contact information up there, and he's got a free gift for you if Eric will help me remember to tell you about it at the end of each episode. Okay, so let's start off with the form 1099. Who needs to file a 1099, and what is a 1099?
Well, a 1099 is an information return, and now's a great time to be talking about it because they're coming due at the end of January. A 1099 is what you complete as an investor for any contractor that has performed a service for you that you've paid in the aggregate more than $600 during the year. And when I'm working with clients through the year, I'll bring this up. It's one of my top topics because it's something that's not always remembered to be filed. And the penalties are really harsh. So a typical conversation I'm going to be having with a client is I'll bring it up at 1099. And the first thing they'll say is, well, you know, I can't do 1099s for some of my contractors because I don't have their information. And maybe in the past, maybe 6-7 years ago, maybe that conversation would have ended. And we would have said, well, we won't worry about it because, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But especially in the real estate industry, it's really tough to get the type of information needed from your contractors to report on a 1099. So a 1099, we'll start this way. You go out and you get a contractor to come in and do some plumbing. And it's a lot of work on the plumbing. You pay him a couple thousand dollars to do the work. If at the beginning, prior to paying him, at the point of maybe contracting for services with him, what you would want to do is you'd want to get the type of information that's required to go on a 1099. That is the company name. If he's a sole proprietor, it would be his name. You would need either the Social Security number or the EIN number, depending upon if he's in business, if he has an EIN number, and his address. And you would need to know how he's taxed. If he's a sole proprietor, if he's an S corporation, a corporation, or a partnership, all that information you would need. So you're saying, how do I get that information? There is a form, not to throw all these different numbers and forms out at you, but there's a form called the W-9, and you can easily go online and pull that off in a PDF format. And on that W-9, all the information you need to complete a 1099 will be on that form W-9. You give that to the contractor. In a lot of cases, they've done this before, a lot of them. They already have their own W-9. You could just request it from them. But get that information before you pay them. Because in a lot of cases down the road, now, you know, we're in January and you've paid a lot of services to a lot of different contractors last year. If you haven't gotten the information you need, if you're going to call them and request that information, a good number of those contractors will probably not give you the information. Why? Because they fill out the W-9, you complete a 1099 and send it to them by the end of this month. That's going to be filed with the IRS. And what that's doing is it is telling the IRS that you've paid someone who may be an independent or who is an independent contractor a certain amount of money. And the IRS wants to collect all the 1099s for that one contractor. And they're going to compare that number, the total amount of gross receipts, to the total amount of income that that contractor has filed on their tax return. So it's simply just an information return. So okay. Maybe you, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So maybe you as an investor might be saying, well, you know, why do I need to worry about this? You know, it's not something that goes on my tax return. Well, let's talk about penalties, because at the end of the year, you're tabulating all the different contractors you've paid over $600. And if you do not file any 1099s, we'll start there. For each 1099 that you don't file to the IRS, and let's say you just don't do it for the entire year, you're looking at somewhere around a $280 penalty for each 1099. In addition to that, for each 1099 you don't send to the recipient, that is the contractor, you're looking at an additional $280 penalty if you don't file it for this year by the time we get to the end of 2023. So combined, you're looking at a large amount of penalties that you would be responsible for if you don't file your 1099s. That's one point I can make. Another point I can make is, what happens if the contractor doesn't give you the information? You have full intent of actually filing a 1099. You just don't have their information. Well, now you're out in a gray area. You're out there in la-la land, because if you don't file the 1099 and you take the expense on your return and you get audited, that expense can be disallowed. So I like to post a lot on LinkedIn. I'm very active on online social media. And one of my posts actually today had to do with 1099s. And I gave an example. If you had a $10,000 fee you paid to a contractor and you're in the 22% tax bracket, you failed to file a 1099 and you got audited by the IRS, you're looking at about $2,200 worth of taxes you're going to have to pay, plus penalties and interest for not filing that 1099. So it's really important to start focusing on making sure you file your 1099s and file them timely so that you can avoid penalties and interest as well.
Wow. That I didn't know about disallowing your expenses. Got a couple questions here. Several years ago, the IRS or Congress or somebody was contemplating 1099s to everybody, including Home Depot. Okay. What I have learned or thought and hope I'm doing this right is the one, let's say you have Bluegrass Heating and Air LLC. Okay. We will enter them as a vendor. We'll capture their address, their EIN number and all that stuff. But if they're an LLC and have a tax ID number for that entity, we don't send them a 1099. Is that correct?
Well, not necessarily. It depends on if they're taxed as an S corporation. If they're taxed as an S corporation, then you wouldn't have to send them one. If they're a corporation, you wouldn't have to send them one. If they're an LLC, just a partnership, taxed as a partnership, or if they are a single member disregarded entity, then you would have to send them a 1099. But no in a perfect world, just send them a 1099. It's not going to hurt you to actually send them a 1099. And
okay. So if they're a corporation, no. Okay. If LLC, yes.
Yes. And that's, wow. You're going to know that by having them complete the W-9, because one of the sections of the W-9 will have them, they'll be checking a box of how they're taxed.
So let's use this W-9 then. Use it to CYA. Okay. So what I do, okay, and is before, let's say anybody that I used to think should have a 1099 and also a cover my butt kind of thing, before this person or vendor gets a check from us paying for their services, I require them to fill out the independent contractor agreement. And the independent contractor agreement is more of an asset protection kind of instrument. And you get that fill in the blank form is anybody that's a gold, diamond, or platinum member, that's built into your free investor care website you get with your membership. So you just click on that, hand your phone to them. They fill it out. They take a picture of their photo ID and bingo, you got the independent contractor agreement. Because of what I learned just now from you, I'm going to figure out a way to do the W-9 as well and plug that in so it can be fill in the blank. And I'm sure we can figure out a way to do that. So I didn't know that LLCs, we depending on tax reporting entity, we might have to send them a 1099.
Yes. And, wow. You know, another thing to consider if you fail to file the 1099, or actually let's give you a better example. You file the 1099 and you get a notice back from the IRS that says, we've received your 1099 and the information on there we can't match up with properly with a taxpayer. So there's something known as or called backup withholding. I've been doing this for 25 years. I've never had a client where we've done backup withholding. But with the way COVID has been the last couple of years, with money being handed out by the government, if I'm the government and if I have the resources to do this, you know, if I got $80 billion coming to my department, what's a better way for me to get some money back from taxpayers? And that's by looking at maybe collecting on some penalties that are just dangling out there. So kind of get to my point here. If you're unable to get the information from your vendor, your contractor, or if you get a notice from the IRS that says they can't match the vendor, the contractor information, you're actually required to, in the future, have backup withholding of 24%. And wow. So when you pay them, if your bill's the $10,000, you should be withholding $2,400 and paying them the $7,600. Without my calculator, I hope I can add right, $7,600. You hold that $2,400 and you pay that to the IRS.
Ugly, ugly. Okay. So important thing here to learn, guys, is let's get these 1099 done right. Okay. Dot your I's, cross your T's. And if you're using the investor book system, when you enter a vendor, it's going to ask you for, are they qualified? Do they get a 1099? And if they do, you got to plug in everything that Eric said here, company name, social or EIN, address. And I would say just check the box for 1099, send it to all of them. You're not going to get in trouble doing that, right?
I have not heard anybody get in trouble for sending a 1099 to someone that didn't really need it.
Okay. So now here's the dumb investor question for you. Okay. So how do we do this? What form do we use? Where do we get it? We go to Office Depot. Can we do our own? How do we actually? Now, I know this in QuickBooks, for example, in investor books, there's a drop down list and it says tax time view 1099s or something like that. And it'll pop up all your vendors that you flagged as being 1099 eligible. Okay. So when we do that, I don't know, does QuickBooks print that for you? Or
it's an IRS, it's an original form, and you have to get it from the IRS. And this is, I deal more with the law, and we have a department at our firm that does the actual preparation of it. But I think it's still where you have to have an actual IRS form, hard copy. And in most cases, I know we just ordered a certain amount this year because I got an email from our production department saying we've ordered the 1099s. So get the information from your client so we can start preparing them. But that has to go on an original form. And it used to be, gosh, back in the day, you go to Office Depot and you buy them. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon now. Or in a lot of cases, if you're working with a tax advisor, just call your tax advisor and hopefully they've already contacted you and let you know about 1099s. But contact them and see if they have some extra 1099s floating around if you want to do it on your own.
Okay. You mentioned the term IRS original 1099. So let's say I get my hands on one of those or I go online and I see a 1099. Can I print that to PDF and then print those out on my printer and then handwrite and fill in the blanks?
I don't believe you can. That gets into a little more specifics, but I don't believe you can. It's got to be, you can handwrite it on the original form. And there's also, I'd have to go back and look at that because I haven't looked at that in a while. In some cases, the number of forms, if you reach a certain limit, you actually have to e-file them, if I remember correctly. So that's going down a route that I haven't been in a while.
Okay. So it has to be the original IRS form. And how do you get those? Call your tax advisor or CPA?
Yes.
Can they call you?
Absolutely.
Okay. So they can contact Eric at his email at eshadowins@dmlo.com, and he'll send those to you. You'll send them what, in an email?
No, generally, if I'm working with a client and one of my clients calls me and says, I want to complete 1099s, I can get them some blank copies and I can send them out to them.
Through snail mail?
Yes. Yep. Wow. Or they can come in and pick them up, whatever.
Wow. Okay. So that's awesome. Now, so you're going to get these original forms from the IRS, and Office Depot used to have them. Can you pick them up at post office or any place in town, in your town?
That one I can't tell you for sure because it's been so long since I've actually had to go out and get them.
Okay. So that would be a little Google challenge for all of us. Okay. Now, so this is going to go out to everybody that you pay over $600.
Yes.
Okay. So now let's talk about Form 1098 if we can, pretty quick. And we're running a little bit out of time. But what is Form 1098?
So that's a mortgage interest statement. You're generally going to get that from your lenders where you went out and you purchased your property. You may have purchased it in your LLC name, or you may have purchased it in your personal name. You get that in the mail and you use that mortgage interest amount to match what you have on your books as you've been recording your payments throughout the year. What a lot of investors may not realize sometimes is the mortgage payment is split between a principal and interest payment. The interest payment is what you get to deduct on your tax return. The principal amount is what you use, obviously, to reduce your loan amount that you keep on the balance sheet of your financial statements. So you get that 1098 mortgage statement, and really it's just to confirm that you've recorded the correct amount of interest expense for the year on your tax return for the property that you purchased. What you may want to watch out for is, because there's situations where investors may take a cash out refinance from their personal home and use that money to go and purchase an investment property. And there is hoops to jump through to make sure you're taking the deduction properly, because it wouldn't be a deduction as a Schedule A item, an itemized deduction on your personal return. You actually would have to do a 10T election. It's something known as interest tracing. And the interest you pay on that second mortgage you're taking out on your personal home would actually get reported on the investment property that you purchase on the Schedule E of your personal return, or if you're, we'll just leave it at that. We'll keep it simple.
That's what I did. Get started now. So Form 1098, you're going to receive those in the mail before the end of January from lenders where you have borrowed money. Okay. And that form, shouldn't you put that in a folder? And like, here's what I do on my computer. I've got a folder that says tax stuff. Okay. And then I've got inside of that folder, I've got for each year. So I would create a folder, let's say, for example, tax stuff or 2022 tax stuff. So all the 1098s I get, I dump into that folder. Okay. And so that's where money borrowed and I get a 1098. And then if I get a 1099, that would go in there too. Okay. Yep. For tax time. And then on Form 1098, most of us are used to mortgage interest statement from the lender. I'd put those in there because they're important. For tax time, and what I'm doing is we're getting all of our tax stuff into one folder for that year.
Yep.
In that entity. Okay. And then also we send out 1098s when I have loaned money to investors, not owner occupants, but to investors, secured with a mortgage. And then I send them a 1098 on the interest they paid me. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So now we've sent out our 1099s. We are still receiving our 1098s, which you don't have to do anything when you receive them other than save them. Okay. And then any money you loan, you need to send a 1098 out to the folks who borrowed money from you. Now, what do we do with these forms? Is there another last step to do to consolidate these things, or who do we send some kind of summary to?
Well, if we're talking about the 1099, yeah. So, by the end of January, January 31st, you're required to file your 1099s with the IRS. And you're also required to file them with the recipient, that is the contractor you've paid, by January 31st. Same for your 1098. It's due to be filed with the IRS by January 31st. We're here in Louisville, Kentucky. And in Louisville, there's actually a requirement. It's something called a Form 1099 SF. And it's really just a cover sheet. You take all your 1099s and you fill out a cover sheet, and you need to file it locally with Jefferson County because Jefferson County has occupational taxes and they use those 1099s to find contractors just like the IRS does.
So you got to check with your local requirements as well. And you can look those up in their free consultation that you're, I dropped the bomb here. Okay. But anyway, it's all due before January 31st. Tell me, I recall 1096s, do those still exist?
The 1096 is what goes on top of the 1099. So it's a summary of the 1099 worksheet.
So is that required as well before January
31st? Yeah, you would fill that out as well.
Okay. And so a 1096, on my cheat sheet here is a summary of the 1099s.
Yes.
Okay. And it does not include 1098s that you send out?
You know, I have not filled out a 1098 myself personally in the 25 years that I've been in the business, but I think the 1096 is, it's used for 1098s as well.
Okay. Yeah. So 1099s and 1098s. That's what we were doing. I'm like, whoa, okay. So, and that's a summary of that. And that's where you send everybody the 1099s. And if you loan money, you send them a 1098. And then each one of those, there's this 1096 thing report summarizes all those that you sent them out. And that has to go to IRS as well.
Yep.
Okay. And then you're going to capture your 1098s from lenders where you've borrowed money and put all that stuff into your 2022 tax folder, tax stuff folder. Okay. Yep. And then we got, here's our here's a surprise for everybody here. Eric has twisted his arm a little bit and over lunch, and he's offering, because you've invested your time sitting here listening to me and him, Eric's offered you a free real estate investor tax consultation. Absolutely free. Okay. And so if you can see the screen here, you can see he's on LinkedIn. And if you do the LinkedIn stuff, do the last front slash as Eric Shadowins, and you can find him. His email is eshadowins, that's S-H-A-D-O-W-E-N-S, at B as in David, M as in Mike, L as in Lincoln, O as in Ocean.com. And so you can email him, go to LinkedIn to contact him, or you can use your cell phone and call 502-326-2319, and I promise you will not be disappointed on your free investor tax consultation. So this wraps up the first episode there. And I tell you what, as always, Eric, I'm learning more and more from you. So if you're getting started in real estate, guys, please go listen to the first 10 episodes of the 5hourrealestateweek.com. That'll help you get started, give you the big picture overview and what things to do. And I need your help. Okay. And Eric's going to need your help too. But if you like what you're learning here, guys, please click the follow or the subscribe button. I don't know which one it is. Give us a 5-star review, all that. I'd really, really appreciate it. That's how you can pay me back. Okay. And then sign up for my free power lunches. This happens every Tuesday at noon. Just go to mikebutler.com and you'll see power lunch on there and you can sign up. And that's great. So thank you, Eric. And we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks, Mike.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.